Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Girl Dad Show. I am so excited about today's guest. I have Pat on the show.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for having me.
Pat, thanks for being here, man. Let's jump right in. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? What are you working on and what do you do?
So I'm a financial advisor by trade. I work a lot here in the Austin area, just trying to help families and dads specifically secure the futures for their families.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's been fun. That along with a lot of community outreach and community service, pretty much that's what I use to fill up my week every week.
That's awesome, man. And then I gotta know why you niche down on the dad part of it. That's a very specific comment you just made there. Talk to me about
that. It's easier. You know, we have a lot of my wife and I's friend group is very large. The fathers have all kind of cleaned together, and the wives have cleaned together. So the dads is an easier section for me. Easier niche for me.
Yeah.
We all worry about the same things. So accomplishing the same goals at the end of the day is what we're all in it for.
That's awesome. I mean, not to be too redundant, because it sounds like it's obvious to you, but just can you share what those goals are? Like, walk me through some of the primary goals that you have found talking to all these dads.
Securing the futures of kids.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I should have said it first. Yeah. I should have said, hey, tell me if I'm right. Yeah.
Those are the things, you know, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, what kind of background you have, every father, that's really the number one concern of most fathers, is just making sure that the families are okay, making sure the kids have a fighting chance in this world.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like, I knew it in my brain and heart, because that's what I think about every night when I go to bed, what I think about when I wake up in the morning. Yeah, that's amazing, man. I love it. Well, like, walk me through your journey here. So were you always in financial services?
I have not always been in financial services. So I was an athlete prior to this. Financial services is always where I knew I would land. Coming out of college, I majored in economics and managerial studies, which made up the business degree at Rice where I went. And I always had money was always something that really intrigued me. How to use it, how to make it work for you, how to secure your future with it. So that was an industry that I knew I would eventually jump into. I actually interned for a year after graduation. Sports kind of fell in my lap, so it was kind of a deviation off the path for 4 years, but I always knew I'd be coming back to this industry.
That's awesome. So you went to school for it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And where'd your interest come in? Is that something that your parents did?
My interest in the industry?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because a very close friend of mine now, who I actually just got back from a golf trip with, was my prior financial advisor, or my family's financial advisors prior to me getting into the industry. So I got an opportunity with him to help him kind of build his business. He was trying to delve into the athlete space while I was a young athlete. So I got an opportunity to kind of watch him kind of maneuver into different sectors and serve different communities, different people. So that helped spark the interest. Like I said, I wound up interning a year during a summer, the year after I graduated, or right before I graduated. And that really kind of put the nail in the coffin. I knew this was an industry that I'd eventually be in.
That's awesome. It's almost like you knew from the very beginning. That's great. So then what made you go into being an athlete?
So I always wanted to play sports. That was the dream of every young football player. It's funny because my story is very weird. It was probably 99% chance that it wouldn't happen, because I had some injuries at the absolute wrong times. Things did not work out for me the first time. Second go around, so the year following, I got an opportunity to just work out with the guys that I came into school with and graduated with. And I accidentally did well in a workout, and then I did well in another workout, and then I did well in another workout, and it wound up me signing my first contract. So it was literally something that it was a shot in the dark, and it happened to work out for me. God had a plan for me. So,
well, that's amazing. And you got to kind of educate me a little bit. I, in full transparency, don't know much about sports. So what does that mean by you went to a workout? Like, is it like a session to test how people are, their quality of like skills and stuff? Like,
absolutely.
What is that?
Absolutely. So a little bit more about my story. I went to Rice University. I played football my first 4 years. Most people play over a 5-year span. I played my first 4 years and then became draft eligible. Like I said, going into that draft, I wound up getting hurt and was not, I was eligible still, but I wasn't that good at the time to be an injured player and still drafted. So what wound up happening is I set out for a full year, got an opportunity to obviously heal, but train at the same time and prepare for a following workout, basically the combine for the next year, which would be my true fifth year. So that's what I spent the better part of a year preparing for. I got an opportunity to work out at an open workout, which is basically a bunch of NFL scouts come to your campus and put guys through the chute. They have you run, they have you jump, they have you lift. They ask you questions to see how you think. So I got an opportunity.
No way. They do like mental tests.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. It's they're making big investments in some guys, you know.
Yeah.
So they do their best due diligence to make sure they know everything they can about you.
That's awesome.
So like I said, we went through all of that process, and I ran some good 40 times, and like I said, that led to a lot of other great things in my future at the time.
So. Yeah, dude, that's amazing. Yeah. That's so awesome. And so then you did that for how many years before you decided to jump into this financial services?
So I played. For 4 years, two in Green Bay and two in Carolina. After that, I got cut one time too many. It was time to start life. I knew what industry I wanted to get into. I was about to get married. It was just a lot of life changes happening at the time, and it was a good time for me to exit. So I was relatively healthy at the time. Mentally, I was still there, so it was a good time for me to get out.
That's awesome. So you it's awesome because you basically calculated your risk reward and you just started making decisions based on that. And so you got out after 4 years. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is correct.
That's awesome. And then did you work for somewhere or did you start your own business or what did that look like?
So I still work under a practice. It was, like I said, another weird story. Getting out of football, I started applying for jobs. One of the jobs that I applied for was a financial services company that I'm currently with, IMG. I've been there for 16 years now.
Wow.
I applied with him. It was the weirdest thing because I went through the interview process, multiple interviews. So the first one, obviously I made it through. They asked me to come back for another one. Went back for the second one. But to schedule the second interview, I had to basically call in, listen through the whole phone Rolodex. And the young lady that was doing my interview was at the very end. So prior to getting to the very end of the Rolodex, getting to her name, another name of a guy that I played football with in college pops up. So, it can't be more than one guy named that. His name is kind of unique. So when I called in, I got her on the phone. I asked her, I was like, hey, you know, is this individual the same individual that went to Rice? She was like, yeah, do you know him? I was like, yeah, he was a teammate of mine. You know, he was a senior my freshman year. And we were, it was a funny story because he was much older than me. But him and his closest friends kind of took me under their wing as a freshman, and they were kind of mentors to me when I got there. So, like I said, once I found out he was there and made that connection, he called me 5 minutes later, offered me the job, and said, come on in. And that's how it all got going.
That's amazing. I will say that there's a lot of parallels and analogies in business about athletes and business.
Absolutely.
And I think athletes are natural business leaders, right? There's a sense of teamwork, a singular purpose, delegation, organization. Do you feel like there's a lot of parallels?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of the things that you learn, specifically playing football from such a young age, it kind of molds you into the person that you are when you're 43. So there's a lot of things that, you know, you just get used to, a lot of structure that you get used to, and it all overlaps.
Yeah.
It all carries real easily.
Yeah, I totally see it and I believe it. And it's really unfortunate because now that I hope I'm older and wiser. I just think I might be older in some ways, but I do wish that I played more sports. So my kids are playing a lot more sports because I feel like it'll help them so much in business.
Absolutely.
I think that perseverance, the ability to work through physical pain and
absolutely
and mental stress, you know, it's in a safe manner, right? In a kind of a environment that's communal is really interesting way to teach grit.
Absolutely.
And perseverance. And so do you have your kids playing sports?
Yes, they do. So my daughters are track athletes.
Nice.
And they, you know, it's funny because one of them is in the band and band color guard, so they twirls all the flags and stuff like that.
Yeah
that's almost that's more time intensive than any football league, any football season that I've ever
really
so, I feel like that's a sport at this point. So they're in that, and it's taught, like you said, it's taught them so much. More importantly, just teach them how to lose. how to overcome some struggles. I think they'll be very good. My wife was a former athlete as well. They've got a ton of talent. What sports and what track has taught them is just how to lose, how to get back up, how to keep going, how to work. And like you said, just how to develop grit in life.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love the commentary about how to lose, because it's not that you have to be a good, well, in my opinion, you don't have to be a good loser, but you do need to learn the skill of getting back up. And it's so hard to teach, because there's no real, like, you can't just tell them to do that, right? Because there's got to come, you know what I mean? Like, they have to kind of experience and want it. So it's kind of interesting that you brought that up. That's a really interesting way of saying the grit piece, because it's like, that's really what you're teaching them. It's teaching them how to lose.
Absolutely.
That's awesome, man. And what do your kids think about what you do?
They love it. You know, they love it. They love the flexibility that it affords me. You know, I get an opportunity to be at most of their events. So that makes it good. How much do they know about what I do? Probably very little. What they do know, and you know, what was very important for my wife and I was to just teach them what it looks like to work.
Hmm.
They have the opportunity to see Dad get up at 4 a.m. and go to work and start the day. And that's not uncommon for them. So I wish I could say I was incredibly productive at 4 a.m. I'm not. It means a whole lot more to me for them to just see me waking up, getting started, and see the work that I'm putting in and know why I'm doing it. It's not, you know, money's great, but I'm not doing it to create some lavish lifestyle. I'm doing it so they can see, you know, me trying to develop and create a life that's easier for them. So
it's awesome. Yeah, that's really good. So you're role modeling the behavior that you want them to see.
I tried my best.
That's all you can do, man, is try your best, right?
Absolutely.
And what did your parents do, if you know what I'm asking? How was your childhood?
My childhood was great, man. You know, it's funny because I, you know, you almost feel guilty. You know, some of my friend groups, and I know how a lot of them grew up. It's my mom was pretty easy. I grew up with a father who was modeling all of these things that I'm trying to model to my kids. He was doing that, you know, 40 years ago. He was an engineer at IBM for 30 years. Mm. Retired from there and then went to the DPS and worked for basically built breathalyzers for the DPS for 10 years.
Mm. That's cool.
He's a lifelong worker. We just got him to retire a few years back, but it's almost like he's still working. He's still volunteering a lot. When he's not volunteering, he's traveling a lot. My mother, she passed away in 2009, but she was a worker as well. She worked for the government, for the state of Texas, for senators.
Wow.
A lot of public policies and stuff like that. So she was a grinder as well. She basically was a administrative leader in an office. So a little bit above an assistant, she basically coordinated the schedules and calendars and promotions for senators around the city.
It's awesome. And what did they think about you becoming an athlete?
They loved it. They knew that was my dream.
Well, yeah.
But through all the ups and downs, those are the two people that I can say probably had the most faith, along with me, that it would work out. Because there were some times that it didn't look like it was going to happen. But those were my rocks. They continued to support me. They did everything they could to get me to whatever area in life I was trying to go. They did a great job supporting my brother and I.
That's awesome. That's really great. Because I mean, for me, when I hear your parents' story like that, it seems much more academic and almost institutional, you know, like bigger institutions. And so it would seem like a big risk for you to try to become an athlete, you know, from their perspective. So that's awesome that they were like, go for it. That's great.
Absolutely.
And what do they think now about what you do?
I know my mother would be proud if she was still here. My father's always, he's very proud. He thinks I can do anything.
Mm.
He's very proud, very motivating. They're pushing me to just get bigger. I'm fortunate just not to have a support system that doesn't allow me to really settle. My wife, my father, my aunts, my uncles, all of my community is really motivating and pushing me to just continue to grow. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
That's really good. And what do your what do your kids think about you being an athlete and then now doing this? Do they know? Do they even know about it?
They know. It's funny, I've got two girls.
Yeah,
they're twins. They're 14. They freshmen in high school, but to be honest with you, they really didn't. They understand sports and they understand.
Yeah,
they know what the NFL. They don't understand what it takes to get there, anything like that.
Yeah,
but they really weren't all that impressed by it until the boys at school were kind of impressed by it. because a gentleman, a guy that I grew up with, you know, we grew up in different times. We grew up at different schools that were probably 3 miles apart, that and we knew of each other because, you know, I know so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so who knows him. But he wound up being a coach at their, he's one of their coaches at middle school, and he wound up playing professional ball as well. So we graduated the same year. We made all of these all area teams together, and that was the extent of our interaction. But then, like I said, once he became their coach and he actually told them, hey, your dad was actually pretty good at football. Mm. That's when it became a much bigger deal to them, when their friends and their coaches and stuff like that kind of knew about it. So
their sphere of influence helped you elevate your status. Before that, they're just like, whatever.
Yeah, just that.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because we're trying to train them and prepare them for sports and stuff like that. And my wife was a former professional athlete as well. So we know what it takes to get there. They just don't think we know a thing. I spent the better part of the last 2 or 3 years kind of working through that guy, through their coach, just telling, hey, look, I need you to tell them to do this. I need you to tell them to do this. Because they don't, you know, when it comes from me, it doesn't hold much weight right now. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And does your wife also encourage them to be athletes as well?
She does. She does. Like I said, she was a former track athlete. And to be honest with you, with her, track provided her more than anything else probably could have. She's from Barbados originally, came from a great upbringing, but track basically gave her the opportunity to come to the States at age 16. She went to Rice as well. She graduated from Rice with 3 degrees, was an All-American at Rice in track and academics, Olympic qualifier. Track then sent her to get her master's degree at University of Texas, El Paso, where she completed that. So track has provided a ton to her. Sports has provided a lot to her. So yeah, it's a big deal. You know, it's funny, if my kids weren't talented in sports, it would probably be pretty easy for both of us to shift to whatever it was they're good at. But they're actually pretty good at it. So
no, perfect.
Hopefully they see it through and develop some sense of work ethic and can maximize the talent that God has given them in athletics.
Yeah, I mean, this is totally out of left field, but like, do you guys like race and stuff? Do you guys actually like compete as family?
No, no more.
Oh, you used to though. No more, okay. That's funny.
My wife thought she could outrun me in college, and that race did happen. It didn't work out for her well.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I don't think we've run full speed since then. So
yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. I don't know how old you are, but I think we're around the same age, and it's not easy running full speed.
Running full speed at 43 isn't smart.
No, no, no.
A lot can go wrong.
Exactly, exactly. Everything can go wrong. Yeah. Man, that's funny. So you got to answer me this, though. So having 14-year-old girls, because I have 2 girls as well, and they're a little younger. I've heard that as they get into their teenage years, they start to really like bond with the dad and start to like kind of become best friends. Is that true, or is there any truth to that?
It's certainly getting better.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't even say it's necessarily bonding with the dad. It's just that mom is so much more of the disciplinarian that they need a reprieve at times.
Is that all it is?
That's what I provide at times. I don't have to yell a whole lot. I don't have to act up a whole lot, because mom does a lot of that for us right now. But like I say, it's a shift. It's constantly changing. I've never had sons, but I imagine girls are probably a little bit more difficult when it comes to that, because they're just constantly figuring themselves out. And
totally.
Yeah. It's
totally.
Because when they come home every day, I pick them up from the bus stop, and it's a flip of the coin what kind of mood they're in. Basically just stay quiet in the car. I look at them a little bit to see if anybody's going to... If nobody says anything, I'm like, how was your day? And they're like, oh, you know, it'll either go left or right.
Very cautious. Just slowly assess the situation.
Yeah.
Figure out what temperature it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, my kids are younger, but there are times where I'm like the best thing since sliced bread. And then there's like literally the next hour, I'm like the most annoying creature in the world. Like, it's just so funny. And I'm like, what just happened in that last hour? Yeah. It's so fun, man. I love it so much. That's great.
How old are your kids?
Yeah, so you're saying it's not actually, it is true, but not for the reasons that I think.
Yeah,
think
not
it's
for
more
the reasons.
Because
yeah.
I was hoping
yeah.
that it was
you know, it's
be
funny.
For
you,
that
you
reason.
Figure out, you start to figure out, you know, what they're into at the time, and it could change from week to week. But one of them is really into this boba tea thing. So it just gives you a reason, you know, as a father to say, hey, look, let's go grab a tea. Or one of them is really into, you know, ramen. So we go and try different ramen restaurants around the city. So you figure out what it is that they're interested in at the time, and you just kind of go with it. Whether you like it or not, you just kind of go with
yeah.
it. So
that's awesome. Yeah. It kind of goes with everything, right? Even hobbies and extracurriculars. You got to just like kind of go with what they're interested in just to test it out. I mean, it's not just foods, right? Because like, I don't know anything about sports, but I was coaching my kids soccer last year, and I don't even know the rules, and I'm sitting there coaching, you know. You just do it because they're interested in it, you know. You just put yourself out there. It's so uncomfortable. And you did the same thing, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It's funny, we laugh about it because, you know, you start the season as dad on the sidelines, and you look up and you're like, okay, I'm running drills over here on the right. Let this happen, you know.
That's awesome.
It's funny. So this past track summer, I looked up, and my wife and I would go out there every, you know, to the practices, and I, you know, we walk or we exercise while the girls were training. And I looked up one day, and she's over here coaching high jumping. I'm like, babe, you're not a coach. So it's real easy to get consumed in sports, and it's fun.
But she's super qualified to do
she's
that.
Very
what do you
qualified.
Mean?
Yeah. She just didn't want the responsibility.
Yeah, it's a commitment for sure, man. So what is so let me get a little more serious here. What do you think success looks like for this next chapter of your life, both in business and as a dad?
I would say what success looks like right now for me in life, in this chapter of life, is really just prioritizing the things that are important. What my wife and I are realizing now is that at age 14, we got 4 years left. It's flown by so fast. So making sure that I'm prioritizing, making sure my business obviously is successful so that I'm able to do the things and provide the things for the family that I need to, but also taking the time and realizing that it's not all about business. I'm pretty fortunate in that my business is comfortable and sustainable. It doesn't need me 100% investing in it at all times. So like I said, by the grace of God, I'm fortunate in that. So I'm trying to spend as much time right now just soaking up everything. I know a couple of weeks from now I'm going to miss one of my daughter's event, one of her dances, and it's killing me already. I'm already thinking about how to maneuver my schedule to be available so that I'm there. So just that's what success looks like for me at this point, just prioritizing my family. I'm prioritizing the organizations that I'm invested in as well, because I've made commitments to them as well, and I'm really big on, you know, making sure I'm there for every commitment that I make. Business, I think the business will take care of itself as long as I continue to foster these other two things.
That's great, man. That's awesome. Talk to me a little bit about this 4 years left thing. Are you just being a generalist, right? You're saying they're going to go off to college and they're going to be busy starting their own adult life. Is that kind of what you mean by the last 4 years?
That's what I mean. You know, God willing, and you know, if it's in the cards for them, they'll go to college or they'll go do something. They'll create something. I'm more along the lines of, you know, creating something. And if you can figure out some other way to make the world a better place without school, foster it, you know, whatever it is. But yeah, these 4 years, it's really put us on a timeline. Like you realize how middle school started, it seems like yesterday, and yeah. We're starting high school.
Yeah.
The time is just flying. I don't feel older. I don't feel like it's, I don't feel like my kids are older. So I look at a picture and they're, you know, a foot taller and they're teaching me algebra and all this other stuff. So it's been fun, but it's going way, way, way too fast. So yeah, trying to slow down time. If I can figure out how to slow down time these next 4 years, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's really, really deep, man. I mean, it's like one of those things that I read about last year. It's like the study that you spend 90% of your time with your kids before they're 18.
Yeah.
And it's like the rest of it's just kind of like smeared across the rest of your life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that hit me hard, man. That hit me really hard because you realize like this is it. This is like the time where they're your kids, and this is like the unit. This is the immediate family. And then they start to become adults and build their own families, yeah. right? And so, yeah, it's a really, really good way of looking at it. And your wife is aligned with this strategy of focusing on time, soaking, and enjoying it for the 4 years?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's funny because at her work, she's been getting opportunities, and things are constantly being thrown at her for promotions and all this other stuff. And she looks at mm-hmm. it, she's like, yeah, you know, the money looks great. But at the end of the day, you know, I got to travel 2 weeks out of the year. I'm not traveling 2 weeks out of the year. I'm not traveling one week out. I mean, out of the month. She's like, I'm not traveling, you know, 2 weeks out of the month. So it's those are all things. It's funny because we're having discussions now, you know, about what retirement actually looks like for us. When do we want to do it? When do we want to pull the trigger? You know, if the girls go out of state, how does that look? So essentially what the game plan is right now is in 4 years, we're going to work hard for the next 3 years after they go to school or they do it, whatever it is, after they graduate high school, work hard for the next 3 to 5 years, really hard, my wife and I, and then hopefully we'll be able to, in position to settle down and kind of enjoy that last chapter or that middle chapter of life. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Almost like a semi-retirement, like semi-early.
That would be ideal. Like I said, she's from Barbados. We'd like to spend a whole lot more time there. Working on trying to, you know, establish some roots there. And I you know, that'll all happen eventually. We're trying to expedite it and do it while we're young and can actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the game plan right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Then talk to me about your dad a little bit, about him retiring. Why did you guys force him to retire? If the man wants to work, why don't you let him cook?
He, it's funny. Him and his girlfriend's a little bit younger, but they retired around the same time. Prior to her, he was not much of a traveler. She really gave him that travel bug. If it was up to him, he would work forever. He's just this way he's wired. I think introducing travel to him, introducing a bigger world to him was huge, and it helped him with that process of, you know, phasing out of work. You know, financially, he was probably stable, you know, years prior, stable enough to cut loose. But like I said, I think my mother dying at a young age and them putting everything goes into savings. We're not going to enjoy life at all until, you know, we retire. And, you know, when that retirement, when God calls you home early, you realize, you know, you don't have much time. So I think all of those things kind of helped him, along with us encouraging him to do it. It helped him to do it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's helped you a lot, because what you just said about the next chapter for you is actually pretty unique for your age too.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's a really interesting statement to make and a goal to have for the next chapter after the kids go to college, but, or whatever they do. And sounds like your family history has helped you kind of think that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's crazy because my wife and I are talking. My wife's father passed away some years ago as well, at a young age. Both of us lost at least one parent in their 50s. So my mother was 53. So 10 years from now, I'll be 53. It really encouraged us to just enjoy things. Like, I'm a big saver. I remember prior to my mom passing, I don't think I spent a penny in life. Prior to her passing away, I could tell you where every penny that I'd ever earned was. I'm still not frivolous with money. I'm not a free spender, but I am a lot more flexible and a lot more willing to enjoy the now than I was then.
Wow. So, yeah. That's powerful.
Yeah, life happens. Yeah.
Yeah, it totally does. What are your kids like? Are they savers or are they? Polar opposites. What are they?
So they're polar opposites.
Okay.
Polar opposites. One of them, you know, it's funny, you know, it kind of touched me. One of them, they had these Beats headphones, and one of them tore her, you know, the inner lining in the headphones started to wear out.
Yeah.
I was like, babe, I'll go get you some headphones. She's like, no, Dad, I got some savings. I'm going to go get it myself. And that that really touched me. At least now she's thinking, she's growing up. They're bothering me about work. You know, they want to get jobs, and we want to earn our own money. We want to do this. We want to do that. So that's really touching. The other one will earn money to spend money. So one of them will earn it to save it, and the other one's going to earn it to spend it. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Polar opposite.
Yeah. So are they actually working, or are you talking like chores and things like that?
Yeah, we can't get any work out of them in the house, but they'll start. I think we've given them next summer. It'll be the first summer they'll have opportunity to have jobs.
Hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, I've been trying to put that whole work piece. So I know what work looks like, and I know how many years they have ahead of them to work. So I've been trying to push that off, but they're eager to do it. So
yeah,
probably next summer, if they do well in school, they can get summer jobs. And yeah,
that's so funny, man. It's like the way you're saying it is, it's like a reward for being good behavior. Yeah. They can go work. I love your perspective on life, because that is absolutely, in the macro, that is probably the right way of looking at parenting. It's like, you have the rest of your life to work,
yeah.
You know, enjoy your childhood, you know, but they're eager to do it because, you know, what do all kids want to be? They want to be adults, absolutely. You know, they want to grow up.
Absolutely.
I know, I'm always telling my oldest, I'm like, you got to slow down, you got to enjoy it, because she's just like me. She's like, go, 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 go. And she's just like, wants to do all the activities, and she wants to have 3 sports, 2 music things, you know. And my youngest is so chill. She's just like.
Yeah.
So funny, man. She like wants to sleep in and doesn't want to do any activities. That's has to be coaxed into everything.
Yeah, that's my brother. Now he'll he's funny. I tell him all the time he's gonna live until he's 100, because the guy just goes through life like
chill.
Yeah, it's chill. It's chill. It's gonna be fine.
That's awesome.
Everything will be
fine. Older or younger?
He's younger. He's younger.
And what does he do?
He works in for an insurance company as well. Very successful.
Nice.
He's doing his thing. He's just, like you said, his perspective on life is just different. His temperament is very different.
Yeah.
Polar opposites, me and him. But like I said, he's doing well for himself as well.
That's great, man. I love that. Yeah. Oh, man, this is awesome. I love your perspective on life, and I love how all the different things have, your experiences have molded your perspective and kind of guided you to make these decisions. It's a very unique point of view, but I think it's the right one that I'm really leaning towards as well. You know, not through the same experiences, obviously, but I think as we get older, we all start to realize how fleeting life is, and it makes you really have a different perspective on your kids and yourself, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, I do have a couple of just random questions. Like, what do you think is like the biggest benefit you've had from being an athlete to business?
The structure. That is the biggest thing that's what's helped me the most. Essentially going from having somebody tell you what to do every minute mm-hmm. of your day, from freshman year of college all the way through 4 years in the NFL. It sucks at the time, but it does create a ton of structure, and it's very easy to duplicate in my business. Wake up at a certain time, make a certain amount of phone calls, set a certain amount of appointments, do paperwork at a certain time. Like, everything is very structured. So
yeah,
that's the biggest piece that I took. Another big thing is like we discussed earlier, the grit piece, learning how to overcome adversity. I think that's something that very few people, true entrepreneurs, learn that and have that. But mm-hmm. very few people learn that outside of sports. It's a difficult, you can't go somewhere and learn it. You just got to go through it. So and that's
totally
what it teaches you.
I actually agree with you. I don't think there's anywhere else that you would learn it at that age.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think you can learn it as you get older and you get thrown into the real world where there's consequences for everything, right?
Absolutely.
But once the safety nets are done, it's literally, I think, the only place that I can think of where you can really learn that.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I got to ask you a dicier question here, Fat, so I apologize. What's the one thing that you felt was a detriment from being sports to business? The opposite question.
Opposite question. So this is probably a little deeper than I'm used to going.
Mm-hmm.
Or sports, but because of all of those same answers that I just gave you, the structure, having somebody tell you what to do, having somebody put you in a position, all those things kind of create and dampen your ability to think for yourself.
Mm.
So it's kind of like the military, in my opinion. Like I said, I've never been in the military. I've done a lot of work with the military, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of like-minded people. I'm not going to say, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You have to be that way in order for a group of people to be successful.
Mm-hmm. The
vision has to be the same. But it also does change the way, the free thinking piece is something that my wife and I are really fostering with our kids. Just, hey, look, if you can figure out a way to make this world better, do it. Don't sit back. Don't read a book. Don't listen to what a teacher tells you all the time. You know, do the right thing, but also be a free thinker and learn problem solving.
Awesome.
So all of those things that are, you don't necessarily have to learn in sports. You don't have to problem solve in sports. They tell you what to do. You do it.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you miss. Also, from much more basic perspective, I look at my for a long time, I looked at my college teammates that graduated with me that did not go play sports. He's got 4 years head start in business. Yeah. I felt like I was digging out of a hole. Sure, I had a little bit of money in my pocket, but I was digging my way out of a hole from a career perspective. So those two things are really what that was the downside of it, I would say.
Yeah, the sacrifice. Yeah, there's a pros and cons to every decision we make. Yeah, and I'm just curious because I don't know much about sports, but I am curious because it's like a career decision that is very unique and I don't have access to. So I apologize for asking, but I had to know. It's just like an itch in my brain. I just like want to know. You know, it's very interesting to me because I don't know. I have so little knowledge about it. You know, so it's. Let me switch over to my rapid fire questions. I like to ask the same questions to all my guests and then we'll close out and get you on your way. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. So one piece of advice that you have for soon to be parents or other parents.
Sleep is not as necessary as you think it is. learn how to survive. That's what I tell them. You just survive, enjoy it. Yeah. Take a lot of photos because it goes fast, but survive.
That's awesome. Yeah. I will say that it's so weird how nobody tells you how little you sleep the first few years.
You grow up thinking that you got to have 8 hours of sleep. You got to have 8 hours of sleep. Yeah, I know. There's a 3 year span where I might have been getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep every night.
Totally. Yeah. I aged so much those early years. It was unbelievable how little I slept. Yeah, it was insane. That's so funny. So second question. One thing that was surprising that you learned about yourself after becoming a parent.
I do have patience.
Nice.
I do have patience. It's funny how when you walk out of the house, how little patience you have. But then when you actually get in the house and you're dealing with specifically two young girls, you learn that you're going to have patience or you're going to kill yourself. You develop patience. That's the one thing that I really realized when I became a dad.
It's awesome, man. Yeah. I very similar answer for you as well too. For me, I mean, I'm very regimented. I like to do finance and operations, so I'm very strict in work. Like I'm just so relaxed and like I'm like putty with my girls. Like they literally walk all over me. And I just kind of want to fit in and just be loved.
Yes.
So funny, man. That's hilarious. Okay, so moving on here to my third question. Do you have a favorite book or a podcast that you like to listen to?
So one of my favorite reads was The 7 Habits of Successful People.
Yeah, that's a good
one.
I really
love that book. You know, it speaks towards vision casting, speaks towards grit.
Yeah.
It speaks towards a lot of the things. And it honestly, to me, it was very sports aligned.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the teachings that you have as a young athlete, really, you can really see in that book how it correlates to business. So that was a really easy read for me. There's been a handful of other books, other literature that I read. I more so like to follow certain people. I like to follow Simon Sinek. I like to follow his teachings, and it's not so much business oriented. He does a lot of business type stuff, but it's more people oriented type things. So teaching you how to learn and understand and work with people is something that really stands out. It helps me from a day to day.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's great. That's an awesome way of looking at it. All right, and then to bring us home. When you're not trying to be a active and present and awesome father and a diligent, hardworking businessman, what do you do for fun? What's your downtime activities?
Golf.
Golf. Golf. Nice.
Golf. Yeah. I play. I knew where this question was going. I play a lot of golf, man. It's funny. I just got back from a golf trip with the fellas this past week. We went to Colorado and played golf for 4 days. Got another golf trip set up in middle of this month, and then in October. We have an annual trip that we take to go play golf in Vegas. So I play a lot of golf, man. That's what I, yeah, that's where I that's find good. Joy. That, and obviously, you know, my wife and I do a lot of shows around Austin.
Mm.
Girls are finally at an age where we can do couples things. So we can leave them at home and go out and enjoy life a little bit, date again. So we do a lot of that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool, man. When did that happen again?
Well, got a little bit of time, man. just started for us. So
Yeah, I'm gonna, taking your advice, I'm gonna just soak it in while I have it. Just enjoy the captivity for what it is, you know?
Absolutely.
Sounds good, man. Pat, thank you so much for being on the show. This was a delight to have you on and getting to know you a little bit better, man. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to talk to me.
I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you so much, man. We'll talk soon, okay?
Talk to you later.